Good morning. If we haven't met yet, I'm Brian Hoke, and I help to give leadership to an area, a region of churches of which you all are a vital part. So we're family together, even if we don't know one another, and it's good to be family. Thanks for being a part of what Jesus is doing in this area and across this region and literally around the world. I mean, I've learned a number of things about how you all are helping to impact numbers of people in numbers of places, including in some other nations. And you do that as Fairland BIC, but we do that together as well as the Brethren in Christ. We have ministry we do in common, and you all are a vital part of that. So part of me being here today, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for doing so. I don't know if you know this, but in the last couple of years, you all helped to plant a church in Allentown, Pennsylvania. So this morning, where a few years ago there wouldn't have been a gathering of people, there are certainly other churches in Allentown, but a church that's a part of our family, there's a gathering this morning where people are worshiping Jesus as well, and you all are a part of that. Or in the last couple of years, you have sent numbers of people overseas, not just on short-term, but long-term trips. A couple who lived in the Baltimore area who was thinking about retirement, and Jesus got a hold of them with a few other plans, and you all helped to send them to the southern region of Africa. They live in South Africa, I believe, and then travel to a number of countries in the lower region of Africa and help to provide leadership to churches and church leaders. You all helped to do that. Just in this last week, I was able to hear from some of our global workers, some in Thailand, and then some in the country in Africa called Malawi, and just the impact that through them, you all are having there is just significant. It's good to be family together. Thank you for doing so. Another aspect of being family together is supporting one another. And certainly that's a part of me being here this morning. One practical way, at least, that I desire to be in support of you and in support of your pastoral family. That's part of why I'm here, but I'm also here to encourage you all in your love and following of Jesus, in all times and in all ways. There are certainly times in life, in my life and in yours, that are harder. They raise questions, and then other times where life just seems to be a piece of cake, right? The water's smooth and we're just kind of sailing along. Well, in some of those experiences that are a little harder, potentially, that raises some questions for us. We all have questions at times, right? Maybe it's presently something you're experiencing. Maybe it's uncertainty about the future. Whether it's right now, today, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's 17 years from now, there's a consistent message we who desire to follow Jesus need to hear, need to experience, need to cling to as long as we exist on this spinning ball. And today I want to focus in on one key aspect of that message. I trust it will encourage and strengthen us, regardless of what we face. And the message is the anchor of hope. This morning we're going to talk a little bit about hope. Let's pray together and then keep digging in. Jesus, we just prayed that here's our heart. Truly, that's the core of who we are, the center of who we are. That's what you desire from us. So open our eyes and ears that we may see, that we may hear, and most importantly, open our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The anchor of hope. As I experience life and allow the lens of Jesus and the Bible to intersect my life, to me, hope seems to be something just fairly basic that we all need in all of our lives. One author, his name's Lewis Smedes, he put it this way: our spirits were made for hope, the way our hearts were made to love and our brains were made to think. Another author calls hope a life instinct. I don't know about your experience, but as I reflect on my own, I can certainly think of some times where I just needed something, anything, to keep hope alive. I particularly remember when I first met my wife, who's now my wife, and I'm meeting her, boy, was I just looking for a glimmer of hope that there might be something returning to me in terms of affection. She made me wait for a while. But I just needed just an ounce, just something. Give me something. Maybe some of you have experienced that in different ways. Just needed something to keep hope alive. Maybe it's a life dream. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it's a degree, a friendship. Maybe something like sobriety. Maybe even life itself. Whatever the search for was in that time, or maybe currently, something to give a glimmer of hope. Well, this morning we're going to turn to a spot in the New Testament of the Bible where one of the writers of the Bible really focuses in on this idea. And we're going to turn to two different spots this morning, but the first one we're going to turn to is in the New Testament book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 20. Within those verses, we're going to focus in on verse 19, but I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 20. So it starts this way: because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what he promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. Here's verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. We have this hope. The writer of Hebrews writes, this hope, which is an anchor for the soul, keeps us firm and secure. There's this imagery of anchor, hope being an anchor for the soul. Now think about an anchor. When you're on the water, an anchor is something that's to hold you firmly in place. It provides something that's solid. Even though the current may be going back and forth, and maybe it's heavy, and there's winds, and all of those sorts of things, an anchor holds you firmly in place right where you want to be. The writer of Hebrews says, hope does that for the soul. The part of us, that deep down part, the part of who you truly are. Another word that could have that same idea as soul there is self. Hope, an anchor for the self, the real you. So what exactly is hope? I looked up just a general definition. Here's a general definition: to wish for something with expectation, or a desire accompanied by some confident expectation. So think about the difference between hope and just a wish. So hope is not, I wish I was about 6 to 8 inches taller, had a 40-inch vertical leap, so then I could be playing in the NBA. That is not hope, because there is no expectation by any of you that that's going to happen. Now, you haven't seen me jump, but trust me, yeah, not doing so. That's not hope, this wishing upon a star. Hope is a desire accompanied by expectation that the hope will actually come about, that it will happen. And that's what the writer of Hebrews tells us provides stability to the core of who we are. But the writer is not referring to any old hope, like just hope in general. Notice the word that precedes hope in verse 19. It says we have this hope. The writer is talking about a specific hope. It's a hope that is tied to something else. I don't know, most of you probably know that your pastor has Canadian roots, right? So I thought I probably need an illustration about Canada this morning to help you all feel comfortable and at home and like you're at Fairland, right? Well, a little while back, I was on a lake, and I'm not making this up, all right? This was Ontario, Canada, the Great White North. I was on a lake in the middle of nowhere, Ontario. I was out with a friend on a little fishing boat. We were going out to find a fishing hole that he knew exactly where it was. this area is familiar to him, not so much to me. It was an area that was in this large lake, but probably 15 to 20 feet deep, something like that. And he knew if we could just get to that spot, then we'd find some fish. He had been there many times before, so we take the little boat. We get to that spot, and the water's fairly calm, but if you've ever been on a body of water, sometimes things just seem to drift. So what do? You put down an anchor to hold you in that spot because you want to be right there because he's convinced that's where the fish are. We get to that spot. He gets to the front of the boat. He gently allows the anchor to go into the water. We don't want to scare those fish, right? The anchor starts going down. He goes back to his seat. And all of a sudden, I see his eyes, and they're just like, get as big as softballs, and he jumps towards the front of the boat. And I'm thinking, what is going on? And I look, and there's the anchor. That's already in the water. It's going down, down, down. And the rope that's attached to the anchor, it's going down, down, down. And then right before he gets there, it disappears into the water. Here's the thing you need to know about anchors. They only help keep you secure if they're tied to something else. And they can't just be attached to a rope that isn't attached to the boat. They have to be attached to the boat. The writer of Hebrews apparently knows this key insight about anchors. Because when he writes about hope that anchors the soul, he references a very specific hope. He writes, we have this hope. And if we take our time as we're reading Scripture and we think about that, we should be thinking about, well, this hope, what hope is he talking about? The answer to that question lies around verse 19, what we read that comes before it and what comes after it. We'll find that the hope is tied to something very specific, something that's secure and will not change. You see, when the writer of Hebrews, the people who had been listening to this originally, the imagery he uses there would have immediately sparked things in their minds that they knew from growing up, from their past, that they knew from interacting and relating to God. He writes about how God, in the past, to their forefathers, has said certain things. He said, this will happen, and this will happen. And he writes about the promises of God and how God keeps his word. How when God makes an oath, in fact, he goes back and he talks about their forefather Abraham, kind of the father of these people. And he writes about a promise or a covenant that God made to Abraham. And when he writes this stuff, the original audience, imagery would just be coming to their mind as they hear these words. For me, I have to look at these verses and I have to think, okay, what exactly is he talking about here? Okay, it may be something back in the Old Testament. What is that exactly? But for these people, the idea of a covenant, an agreement between two people, or a promise would have come right to their minds. And that God keeps his promises. That what he says will happen does happen. And you see, this hope then, he is tying to that. It's not just any old hope. The rope to the anchor is attached to the promises of God. And that's why there can be confident expectation. Author and pastor Eugene Peterson defines that type of hope in this way. And hoping is not dreaming. It's not spinning an illusion of fantasy to protect us from our boredom or pain. It means a confident, alert expectation that God will do what he has said he will do. That type of hope is tied securely, fastened firmly to the fact that God will do what he has said he will do. It is tied to his promises, and when hope is placed there, it can give stability which is needed at the core of who we are, at the foundation of who we are as people. Of course, one of the major announcements that God made all throughout the Old Testament, or what we have now as the Old Testament, to his people was referring to this day, this time when God would send another, when he would send the Messiah, the Anointed One, or the Christ, and how that would free up people to have this new relationship with him. Someone would come and would represent God here to people everywhere. Someone who would change life as we know it. A person who would end all of the searching would be the answer to the questions in the present and forever in the future. In Hebrews, following that verse 19, the author describes this person, Jesus, and how he has come and gone before us so that we could have that type of connection with God, how he's leading the way. I love, though, how another writer in the New Testament, Paul, writes about the promises of God, what he said would happen, and connects them to Jesus. I want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So right at the beginning of Paul's second letter to this group of people who are following Jesus in a town called Corinth, chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. Here's what Paul writes. For no matter how many promises God has made, there's the idea of promises again. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Verse 21, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He has anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what's to come. Christ, or Messiah, a title for this person who would come, Jesus. And Paul writes that Jesus is the answer to all of the promises God has been saying. He is the yes. He's the fulfillment of everything that God has been talking about. And then he even writes, additionally, God the Holy Spirit is sent as a guarantee of that. So what God has said in the past, what he said would happen, the way he said things would happen, how he'd be made available to people in a new way, all of those things come together in Jesus. And then the next verse says that that allows us to stand firm, secure. Really, that's the hope we've been chatting about this morning. And it applies to all areas of life, but it certainly applies to the soul or the spiritual life. It affects everything. But when the author writes about the hope that's the anchor for the soul, he's specifically referring to the spiritual, that there is something solid we each can attach ourselves to. And so this morning, some of us, we're looking for something in the here and now, something in the present that's going to make a difference in the core of who we are, or at least help to fill that void for a little bit. I'm sure we could go around the room and each one of us could share some of the types of things we've tried to fill that void. You know, that hole inside of us, and we just kind of keep putting other things and other people and other objects there, and how they just don't quite do it. But these writers are referencing one thing, actually not a thing, but a person. The only hope which actually keeps us firm and secure at that deep down level, an anchor in the present, a hope which secures our souls to something that will not move, that will not shake underneath us. And they're pretty succinct about it. They put that hope in the exact same place. And the place is the person of Jesus. You see, hope is here, and he's got a name. Hope is here, and he's got a name. This morning, I can think of no better reality with which to remind myself, hope is here, and he's got a name. There's an anchor for my soul. And that anchor is tied directly to who God is. There is a hope, a confident expectation because of what God has said and done in the past, who he is right now, and the future won't be any different. Now, none of us can guarantee each other, and I certainly can't, that everything's going to work out just the way we desired. But we can say, ultimately, it will be okay. And none of us can speak with certainty, either individually or collectively as a group, that we won't have any more struggles. In fact, based on the words of Jesus, I think we can say with a high degree of certainty that we will have more struggles. But in the midst of that, we can also have confidence that the one who is the same yesterday, today and forever, will be with us and will ultimately use all of those different things, every aspect of our lives, if we allow him to do so. And we can say with certainty that I have a confident expectation of the future if we are anchored to the right spot. So this morning, in what you and I are experiencing personally, or maybe as families or as a church, to what are we anchored? Or to whom are we anchored? Where is our hope placed? Is there anything you're experiencing, I'm experiencing this morning, or someone you know where just you need that certainty, that hope, that security that only Jesus could bring? Any of those areas popping into your mind right now, I'd encourage you to place them in the hands of Jesus. Ask him to carry them for you. Put your anchor down firmly and experience his hope. I stand before you with confident expectation that Jesus is on the throne today, just as he was yesterday, and he will be tomorrow as well. I have confident expectation that what he has spoken is true. And even if there's a thick layer of fog, so thick that I can't see the shoreline, or even if the current and the waves are a little choppier than I would like or prefer, and in fact, I'm holding on to the sides of the boat because it's getting a little rough, there is an anchor for the soul. There is confident expectation that I hold, and you can as well, because I know where that hope is tied. This morning, may each one of us be overwhelmed with the love of Jesus. And may that give us an unshakable hope which anchors our souls. I want to pray to that end for you, for me, for us as a church. Let's pray together. Jesus, I have very little, in fact, nothing upon which I could stand, in which I could make things secure. And yet I do have the opportunity and the ability, because you've given it to me, to reach out to you and to put my hope in you, to drop anchor and have that anchor hold with hope to the promises of God. And so this morning, I pray that for these individuals, those listening online, and for myself, that our anchors would be placed securely in you. And that as we do so, regardless of how high the waves are, or regardless if it's a bright, sunny day, that Jesus, we would hold firmly to you, that our hope would be placed there, and through that hope being tied to who you are, God, and how you have shown yourself over years and years, generations and generations, we would have no doubt that you will do the same for us. Jesus, may we experience your love, even in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen.